Welcome back. Our guest this week is Republican State Senator from Macomb County, Peter Lucido. Our lead story, so what does the governor do next to fix the roads? On the OTR panel, Chad Livengood, Shana Roth, and Bill Ballinger. Sit in with us as we get the inside out off the record.
Production of Off the Record is made possible in part by a grant from Business Leaders from Michigan, dedicated to making Michigan a top 10 state for jobs, personal income, and a healthy economy. More information about the employers working to accelerate Michigan's status is available at businessleadersfrommichigan.com. And now, this edition of Off the Record with Tim Skubick.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year, everybody, as we begin 2020, and we have a story that is yet to be written. What will the governor do to fix the roads? Let's take a look at what she might do. If at first you don't succeed, try again. That could well be the model for this new year for Governor Gretchen Whitmer, as she failed in 2019 to hike the gas tax by 45 cents a gallon. The governor could never get the two Republican leaders to join her in saying yes on hiking the gas tax, even though here she reveals that she thought she had a commitment from the two leaders to boost the gas tax, especially after she helped Speaker Chatfield and Senate Leader Shirky pass no-fault car insurance, sort of a form of I scratched your back, now you scratch my tax hike.
Did you ask in return for your support of no-fault for their support on a gas tax increase?
All representations were that the next thing up was gas tax, and they, Republican leaders, said that's our next move. We are all in, and we're going to fix roads, and we're going to do some sort of a gas tax.
But that never happened. So now what? The governor is working on a plan behind the scenes that could include a smaller gas tax increase phased in over 2 or 3 years.
If the legislature would ever get serious about doing something, I would entertain all sorts of ways of doing it.
And there is speculation that she might ask the voters to approve the sale of bonds to fund the rest of the revenue for the roads, because the gas tax would not get the job done. So, is a bonding plan on the table, Governor?
We'll see. You'll have to stay tuned, Tim.
Okay, that's a yes, isn't it?
No, it's not a yes. There are a lot of different ideas floating around out there.
We should find out later this month whether it's in or out and whether you as voters will have to approve a bonding plan to help her fix the roads. Well, while she's staying tuned, we can write this package right here, right now. Okay, here's the first question. Is there a gas tax increase at a lower level?
Probably.
I think she's going to try it.
Very questionable.
No, no. It's in. 20 cents. She'll start the bidding and go down from there. All right.
Here's the deal. You have to have...
Why are you laughing?
You're just so sure.
Well, I know.
This is a campaign year. You're going to hike taxes in a campaign year.
Duly
Tim,
noted.
How often does it happen?
Duly noted.
Okay, so when she was a candidate for governor, she had a plan that didn't get a lot of attention, calling for borrowing $20 billion of bonds over 10 years. Jay Rising, former state treasurer, now one of her senior advisors, wrote the plan for her. He's been still shopping it around for the last year. She's occasionally slipped it out that we need money, we need a new dedicated revenue source for bonding. So the governor is very likely to roll out a plan that says, here's a smaller gas tax, but we're going to borrow, we're going to use this money as a dedicated revenue stream, ask voters to approve borrowing a certain sum of money, and we're going to front load these projects so we can get a big infrastructure bill the next 10 years.
And the beauty of that is, if the voters say no, she's now got ground cover because she can say, I tried to get more revenue and the people said, no, my hands are clean. Okay. All right. So the bonding proposal is in. You think so?
I think it seems like a very likely step.
Yeah, it's a yes. Go ahead.
You have to get support from the legislature for this?
That's a no-brainer.
Two-thirds.
We're not raising your taxes. We're just giving you a chance.
In like May of 2015?
You know what? Everybody
one,
brings that up. But look, they aren't stupid enough to replicate what they did in May of whatever that year was. This will be a simple, straightforward, no Christmas tree, no Hanukkah bush, no nothing, yay or nay on a bonding thing.
The one thing here is... they're going to try to, at least Speaker Chatfield is going to try to structure this like a proposal A style plan where you offer some little nugget for the voters to vote for this bond proposal that is tied to a gas tax increase. And that, and he has suggested he wants to lower the vehicle registration fee.
Correct.
Which is the most stable, reliable source of revenue for the Michigan Transportation Fund. The gas tax, wake up call everyone, is a dying tax.
It is.
It is going away in maybe not in your lifetime, Tim, but probably in mine. and Shana's.
Have you seen my doctor's report? Uh-oh. You know something.
Well,
I don't
it is.
Know.
We are not going to be. Look, the vehicle registration fee will outlast the internal combustion engine, and as electrification of vehicles occurs, we're not going to have as much gas tax. So there's going to have to be some type of negotiation about what's the long term play here. Especially if you're like, you know, Speaker Chatfield, and you got to think about that too.
And a phase-in of a gas tax increase. William, will you sign off on
that?
Well,
look, I keep hearing more revenue, more revenue, more revenue, and it's just a different way of getting more revenue than the governor proposed last year. How did that work? What about all these imaginative proposals? I think we're going to hear more from our guests today about this. That, frankly, the Republicans, despite being castigated for not playing ball with the governor, were working on all year, trying other ways to raise money or to reallocate money, like keeping money in the county, like a local option gas tax, which 49 other states have. What about all these proposals? How come all we're talking about right now is how do you get more money through taxes or bonds or whatever else it is?
And I mean, whatever her proposal ends up being, if it involves or requires any sort of vote by the legislature, it has to be absolutely perfect. It has to literally be a deal that they cannot refuse because they have elections coming up. Do they really want to give her a Rhodes win when they have a bunch of seats up for election?
So do we do a gas tax increase and counterbalance that with a cut in the registration fees?
You could. That could happen. And by the way, we keep throwing around this more revenue, more taxes. How much more? Yeah, you say, okay, now she's gone from 45 down to 20. She starts there. How far down does it get? Remember, they just raised the gas tax back in the fall of 2015. They did it.
Which
they
couldn't get the job
well,
done.
Well, it may not have, but they could raise it that much more. And I cannot see them raising it any more than that, 5-6 cents at most.
If you phase
and there's
it,
a whole bunch more money that needs to
if
be.
If you phase it in over 2 or 3 years, it's just before she's up for re-election. The sticker shock at the pump is negligible. Okay? This is not that difficult of a package to write,
Shatter. It isn't for you, but you're not voting in a year when these people are running for re-election.
Well, she is pinning her hopes on a disastrous pothole season. Let's set our watches for March.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a good motivator.
You don't even have to say your watch for March. It's already happening in Metro Detroit freeways right now. I can attest to that, and so can our guests, too. One thing to kind of take note of here a little bit is one of the things that she said in her interview with you was they've got a dirt road strategy.
Yes.
You're going to hear that phrase over and over and over until November 3rd this year, because if she doesn't get a deal here in the next few months, it's going to be an all-out war where the governor is going to go on the road for the rest of the year and start talking about how the legislature owns these roads and they want to turn your roads into gravel.
But she went on the road last year. Remember all those bridges she did and tried to generate enthusiasm in the hinterland, and what happened? She got a goose egg.
Well, that's because her gas tax was so high. I mean, it was really dead on arrival, and Republicans made that very clear right from the start that, like, this is not going to happen. So even people, regular voters who may have been okay with it, they were like, I'm not getting my hopes up for this because it's not going to happen.
When they gave her the money for some of the bridges she promised would be fixed, she vetoed it.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to come back with that. And like Senator Ken Horn said to me once during this debate, he's like, don't try to extort me for 45-cent gas tax and go around. And I mean, he used the phrase, this Minneapolis bridge argument you're making isn't working. Now, God help us, a bridge collapses in this state and that we don't want that. But there really is some seriously bad bridges out there. The one that the governor featured down in Dearborn, that thing was built during the Great Depression to help Henry Ford get his workers to the Rouge plant. That's how old it is.
And the picture of a school bus driving over it was very poignant.
It was very pointed. And if you stood underneath that thing, you wondered why in the world anyone else would want to drive over that thing every day.
All right, does she attempt to bring the two Republican leaders into the fold before she pops this thing?
I think she's got to. I mean, particularly given everything that went on with the budget, where she said that she was left out and she had to do all of these things, and then she, you know, blew a whole bunch of stuff up because she was left out. If she leaves them out of this, that's not a great look for her, because she, you know, they've sort of come together and said, hey, we're going to work on these things together. They ended the year kind of with bipartisanship.
Were you surprised when she said she had a commitment after No Fault to raise the gas? Had you heard that before?
Yes, especially when she says we're going to work on, you know, hiking taxes.
This is next.
Yeah, the tax thing was new. I mean, the fact that they were going to work on it, I mean, Shirky always said his plan was auto No Fault reform, the budget, then roads. And, you know, Chatfield's always been kind of pretty fluid.
Have we gotten a reaction from Shirky and Chatfield about her saying that?
No, and as soon as I get back in town, that's the first question I'm going to ask. She went on and expanded on that answer because I was taken by it. I said, well, wait a second. They said, well, they never agreed to the 45-cent gas tax increase, but they did say we would find a way to get there. That's her story. She's sticking to it.
To get there to $2.5 billion every year for 10 years?
That did not come up.
Well, okay. It does seem like she needs...
That's the bottom line. That's
why she's looking at all these alternatives.
It does seem like she needs to get the two leaders on board with something of a framework, because remember what happened last year when we got Pat into June, suddenly into the summer, Mike Shirky started thinking about how can we refinance the entire teacher pension fund and free up money for that. And that created a whole side debate. And now she's made it kind of clear, I'm not going to raid the teacher pension fund to fix roads. And so when you start letting legislators kind of go off into all kinds of different areas of state financing mechanisms and revenue sources, you know, the debate just gets killed.
Have any of you noticed that years ago, the special interest groups, business groups and the like, I thought had a little more pop and influence than they have now? There's been a fairly decent coalition behind raising the gas tax. And we are not correct.
They're all
business
united.
Leaders of Michigan. Mm-hmm. Chamber of Commerce.
I just saw Rich Steadley yesterday tweet, it's time for the legislature to get to work. No going to the ballot. I mean, he's kind of trying to, you know, stop this in its tracks if he can. But Rich Steadley has been sort of amazingly ineffective in trying to get the legislature to bend to his will on this
but
issue.
But he's not alone. I mean, there are other special interest groups who have leaned on these folks, and the leaning has produced Zippo.
I think it was just too high. I mean, it was just too high of a gas tax for them to be able to pass it as Republicans and say, voters, come on, let me come on back to this seat.
What she kept waiting for was them to come in with a lower number.
They just couldn't do it.
They outweighed her.
Well, yeah, but look, we don't know what went on behind the scenes. All this stuff about the Republicans didn't lay out their plan. What everybody in the news media and otherwise was hoping for, Republicans would lay it out in public. They'd get up and have a press conference. This is our plan. They're not going to operate that way. Legislators don't operate that way. They do it behind closed doors with the governor. She heard from them lots of different proposals, which she didn't like. But that doesn't mean they didn't have a plan and that they didn't offer
it. It got leaked to me. I got a copy of it. And it was, you know, essentially half of hers, but it really required mostly redirecting funds. There was some opening for a couple cents a gallon, basically, but it was a third or less of the revenue, and it was well short of $2 billion.
And so now, a magic moment. The gentleman who's about to sit in this chair will solve this problem for us in the next 12 minutes. Peter Lucido, let's bring it on.
Republican State Senator Pete Lucido served two terms in the Michigan House before his election to the state Senate, where he chairs the Judiciary and Advise and Consent Committees. He's a trial lawyer by trade with his degree from the Detroit College of Law. He holds degrees from Oakland and Central Michigan universities. He is also on the Elections Committee, and he's talking about running for higher office. The shy and retiring Peter Lucido.
Well, first of all, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
And you know
year.
What? You do look great for a start of a new year. You do look great.
Are you done?
We're about ready. But you know what? You being homegrown in Macomb like myself, we do speak a different language, don't we, Tim?
Don't drag me into this thing, man. Jane's got the first question.
Okay, you've heard us talk about roads. I'm sure we're going to get to that very quickly. But my first question is, are you running for governor, and can you do a better job than Governor Whitmer?
Number one, the leadership has been, to say the least, I think there was a quote in the newspaper, she's failed her freshman year as a governor.
Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, 100%.
But she signed a lot of your bills.
She's also, wait a minute, you know, signing bills is one thing. Those were called bipartisan packages that support what Michigan needs. A difference every single day for these people. You can't just throw 45 cents on the table and have leadership in the House like Christine Gregg. This is a dead-on-arrival kind of issue. 45 cents? We barely passed 7.5, and I was an absolute no in the House when that package came about on the registration and on the gas tax, and I will be no again because there's alternatives and other options that have been cited by myself, and I'll stay that way.
Mr. Are you running for governor?
I can't answer that right now.
Why can't
you? You know why? I'm serving this man right here. He's one of my constituents. Chad, you need me on that wall at this point as your... What? Senator. And I'll stay on that wall for you, Chad.
Well, let's talk about the district, Senator. Harper Avenue in St. Clair Shores, where I live, in your district, where you grew up. I call it the New Mound Road. It is falling apart pretty rapidly.
I grew up there, too, right next to the Dairy Queen on Lakeland Street. First house over there across the street from Lakeland Manor.
Okay. And you were in the legislature in 2015 when the last funding proposal was passed. You voted against it.
Yep.
What has the legislature done to improve local roads?
Here's the problem. Public Act 51 has been around 70 years. And I got to tell you something. It took 5 years to mount that bad boy. That thing's got to be now dismantled immediately. We need to empower our local communities, such as Mr. Ballinger indicated, and yourself. Gas is unsustainable. It is my quote of the day. It's unsustainable because we have electric cars, we have hybrid cars, which means they have battery and gas, and we also have electric cars. At the end of the day, we may even have a solar car like the Jetsons used to drive when I watched those cartoons. Tell me it's not. It is. It's unsustainable. So that's a no-starter for Lucido right out of the gate. But more importantly is, look at where all the vehicles are registered. Wayne, Oakland, Macomb, Kent, and Genesee. You have over half the vehicles of this state registered. That would be cars, trucks, and motorcycles. And as a result, keep the registration fees in the counties in which they are collected. Let it go directly to those counties. Empower them to fix their own roads, and you won't have it looking like Beirut Avenue on Harper Avenue.
What about local gas tax options?
That's fine. Leave that alone right now. Dismantle it brick by brick like they do when they take away some of those historical houses. You want to take the gas tax and leave that in check because of what Governor Engler did, where it goes to the schools, which is a Christmas tree that they caused up in this Capitol.
Registration fees
need to be kept in the communities in which the vehicles are registered because the insurance company said we generally drive 20 to 25 miles to and from our work every single day. That's what makes sense. That's the Lucido plan. That's the plan I'm unfolding.
Senator, none of the gas tax.
Senate Bill 27, if you need to read it.
Senator, none of the gas tax goes to schools. Sales tax on
gasoline.
Sales
tax on the gas. Okay.
Okay, well, let's be clear, because we don't want to perpetuate myths here in the public.
2% of the sales tax on gas goes to the school, which is almost $1 billion. And Chatfield's trying to find, Lee Chatfield, the Speaker of the House, is trying to find a backfill to let that billion go to the roads. Hey, I applaud you. We should have never tied with twisty ties, taxes that were supposed to be earmarked for the roads to start to go to schools, and all of you agree with me.
Mr. Lucido, the reason you can't answer the question that you're running for governor is that you're not running for governor.
No, that's not true, Tim. I leave my options open. Right now, I've been elected as the senator. Unfortunately, if I go ahead and say yes today, how's my health going to be in 4 years or 3 years? How's my family going to feel about all this? My family and I have been talking about this quite seriously because of this. This state needs leaders. They need business individuals that have come up the hard way.
Pull the trigger.
Pull the trigger, why? Don't need to, Tim.
Are you somebody who wants to comment on that? Take
no,
a look at
I'll
this.
Tell you about...
No, wait, hang on just a second. I got something. Look at this, okay? How much money would you pay to attend a Whitmer-Lucido debate for governor?
Oh, that would be fun.
Could you beat him?
Yes.
You don't think he'll run, though?
You know what? If I could predict what is going on in his mind or anyone else in the Senate's mind on the other side of the aisle, I could, probably make a lot of money.
You went woo when she said she could beat you.
I don't think so, Tim. Lucidos are champions. We always have and always will. We're leaders. Lucido means shiny, bright, like the stars. Shoot for the stars, Tim.
So if your plan to decouple the registration fee from Act 51,
it's easy. Simple.
How many Republican senators from Oakland and Macomb and Kent County do you have on board for this?
Okay, great question. I'm glad you asked that. I already have 16 Democratic votes, according to Curtis Hertel. He said, that's absolutely brilliant is the word. If you take those fees and leave them in the counties in which those vehicles are located and registered, and they drive to and from work every day, like we're creatures of habits, we buy homes close to where we work so we can save gas, save time, save wear and tear, you will have money for the locals to take care of the roads.
So do you have three Republicans to vote with your 16 votes?
I've got, well, yes, I do. In fact,
name
I do.
Them, besides you.
Myself, Mike McDonald from Macomb County, and any one of the senators from Wayne, because it brings also more money in.
But there's not any Republican senators in Wayne County, so is there an Oakland County Republican senator?
I already went to the three heads of the families, I call it. I went to all three of the executives, and all of them are on board with this. Yeah. I don't understand the question because you've
Dave
got Oakland
Coulter
County.
Can't tell Ruth Johnson what to do.
Here's what it is. Does it bring more money to the county? The answer is yes. Does it take away any money from the county? The answer is no. And as a result, who wouldn't vote for that?
Senator, what you're talking
about. Macomb County would have $68 million more.
What you're talking about is a free vote. The Senate basically, okay, you pass it in the Senate. Let's say you pass it.
Go to the House, we've got the votes too, because Southeast Michigan, together with Genesee and Kent, bring the votes to the table.
Senator,
it passes.
You said the exact same thing when you were on their show in November of 2019.
That's not true, because here's why.
What do you mean it's not true?
It's not true. Senate Bill 27 was offered as an option and alternative last year, because we're in 2020. Senate bill also has an amendment to it that says we're not going to divide the money anymore on how long the lane is. Hall Road has six lanes on either side. We need to talk about how we fix all the lanes and not just one lane. And Chad's saying, yes, that's a good point.
So here's your problem. You go with your 16 Democratic votes and the three people you think you have. You got Mike Shirky who has to sign off on this. And you think for a moment that he's going to let you bargain away this and take all his leverage away in dealing with her on this issue?
What's the leverage? I don't understand. When you're giving something to the people and it makes sense economically and, most importantly, equitably, that's the man that I am.
Mr. Lucido, the timing is not right.
What does the timing have to do with anything, Tim, when we're giving more money to the locals and empowering them to fix their roads in communities that are broken?
So if Mr. Shirky tries to stop this, you'll call him out?
I got to do what I got to do for my people that I serve. And you know as well as I do, anybody else, this is where we have to say the road ends,
so
and we're going to start a new beginning.
You're willing to take on the Republican leader on this
issue. I have to take my votes by way of getting them, and I will not sacrifice what I came to Lansing to do. Do a job instead of getting a job.
Senator, your plan, you know, involves an increase in revenue and a redistribution.
Yes.
Okay, what is the proportion there, and how much money more would end up going to roads every year for the next 10 years or
First
whatever?
Of all, registration fees are what's called sustainable. Second of all, registration fees are a birthday tax for all of us. It doesn't matter what type of car you drive or vehicle you drive or truck you drive. It could be natural gas. It is paid at the county in which you register where you live.
Right.
What does it mean? It means $68 million more each year in addition to a gas tax that is going to be falling as a result of unsustainability with gasoline. It is going to be about $168 million more over in Oakland County, about $173 million more in Wayne County. Genesee and Kent, I've got the figures broken down.
But
that means that everybody is going to have parity. And when I say parity, it means those that would lose out and not get it from my registration fees in Macomb, I'll make them even off the top.
The other 78 counties would be held harmless. They wouldn't lose anything.
Not a penny, the way this plan is.
No.
And you know what? No, it does.
Manistee County loses money.
We take it off the top at $7 million. It brings in $650 million more, and we take $7 million off the top to make the 13 counties $200,000, $300,000, even before we distribute it.
How do you?
They don't lose a penny. After the show, I'll bring you the figures. I'm from the Show Me State, Missouri.
Well, so overall,
How do you reconcile all this with the Speaker of the House who wants to get rid of the registration fee altogether?
Fantastic point. Even if you start to decline the registration fee, you're still talking $650 million. So I don't know why he wants to decline something that's sustainable and gas tax people here. It doesn't make sense. I cannot afford to have any legislator look at a gas tax increase when we know it's unsustainable by argument of my own constituents sitting here today.
So the Speaker's idea of phasing down is wrong.
I think it is, and I'll tell you why. The gas tax is the unsustainable. The registration is the only sustainable. And for the viewers out there, Go with the Lucido plan. You can't go wrong because it's not going to increase the tax.
Have you talked to Speaker Chatfield about this?
I have not.
Well, he just found out.
Well, because here's the story. We were looking at different options and alternatives policy-wise as well as economic-wise all summer long. So for the governor to be disingenuous to the Republicans and said we weren't working this summer, wrong. We were. And we have 13 bills that were put in. And I want to know if there is going to be any movement on those bills that I can tie this together with other policy that makes sense for the entire state.
She comes to you and says, Mr. Lucido, let's work together here. Will you give me a vote on a gas tax increase at a lower level that
will
you?
No, I will not.
No, so gas tax is off the table.
I went to the governor January 30th. I went to her office. I met with her policy people, and I met with her all of her heads of the Herfi families. At that time, I sat with her and explained this plan. I showed her that the votes are coming from Southeast Michigan. I showed her those votes are coming from Southeast Michigan and that the money is coming from Southeast Michigan.
She said take a hike?
No, she didn't. She was open to discussion. In fact, when she came out with her 45-cent plan, what did she do? She went around Public Act 51, did she not?
Mr. Lucido.
She did.
Okay, will you stay for overtime?
Absolutely.
I know you would. All right. Go to WKAR.org for more of our conversation right after these closed credits.
Production of Off the Record is made possible in part by a grant from Business Leaders for Michigan, dedicated to making Michigan a top 10 state for jobs, personal income, and a healthy economy. More information about the employers working to accelerate Michigan's status is available at businessleadersformichigan.com. For more Off the Record, visit WKAR.org. Michigan Public Television stations have contributed to the production costs of Off the Record with Tim Skubick.